Today's starter spotlight shines on Hendon Hooker, Tennessee's quarterback. What is Hendon Hooker's ceiling in 2022, and how good could he make the Vols in terms of win-loss record? We'll discuss here on a Wednesday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody, and welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, your go-to Tennessee Volunteers podcast, each and every weekday morning on YouTube and wherever you find your podcast. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen, your first watch. I'm your host, Eric Kane. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee at 99.1 The Sports Animal. Also, write for the Rival site covering the University of Tennessee. That is volquest.com. So, like we said in the cold open, we are going to talk Hendon Hooker. We have reached the final position on offense for the starter spotlight, saving the best for last. Am I right? Hendon Hooker is our discussion today. That'll come up in segment one. Segment two, we got Josh Ward, and we'll discuss all the latest in recruiting and more from Tennessee News on the Hill. And then finally, in segment number three, AL.com released its all-conference preseason for the SEC. Who from Tennessee is on that list, and why I like this list a whole lot more than all the others I've seen. That's coming up here on today's show. So, Hendon Hooker. I'm not breaking any news here, right? Hendon Hooker is Tennessee's best player. Does that mean he will be the first draft pick next year? Does that mean he will have the longest NFL career? Not necessarily. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying Hendon Hooker is Tennessee's best player in the season 2022 coming up. And you can't win at this level with regarding a few exceptions. Georgia obviously being an exception this past year. We keep saying it's an offensive league. Then, football's changing. And then you have Georgia and the 85 Bears come out there this past season with that defense and win it all. But with an exception here or there, Georgia being obviously this past season, you've got to have good quarterback play to win at a high level. Again, that's not breaking any news here. What Georgia did, it had an elite defense. It had tons and tons of first-round talent on that defense and had a good offensive line, a good run game, good enough skill players to get by winning with a quarterback than Stetson Bennett, who is average but can play above average at times, and at times he did play above average, including in the national championship game. And so give credit where credit's due to Stetson Bennett in Georgia, but for the most part, you've got to have elite quarterback play to be an elite team. Hendon Hooker is an elite talent. He showed that last year. He did not show that at Virginia Tech. Yeah, if you look at his stats, going back throughout his career, Virginia Tech played in 10 games in 2019, and he completed 99 of 162 passes for 61%. He had 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions in 2020. He played in 8 games, completing 98 passes of 150, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and he threw for 1,339 yards, threw for 1,555 yards in 2019. And then in 2021, when he gets to Tennessee, now granted, again, he committed under Jeremy Pruitt to come play for his offense and Jim Chaney, but just the way things work, the domino falls, Hendon Hooker plays for Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel is able to coach him up, and Josh Heupel is able to get the best out of him last year, where he completes 206 passes for over 303 attempts, 68% completion percentage, 31 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He throws for 2,945 yards, and of course, he was not the starting quarterback officially until game number 3 of the season. Obviously, something clicked with Hendon Hooker last year, and you can say that is Josh Heupel, right? And so, Hendon Hooker decides to return, right? His draft stock was not fantastic last year, and I got news for you. He'll probably not be a high-round draft pick next year. It's just, he's an older guy. He's 6'4", but he's only about 215 to 220 pounds. He doesn't really translate well to the next level. Doesn't mean he won't, doesn't mean he can't, but right now, that's just kind of what he is. Decides to come back and see what Tennessee offense can do here in year 2 of the Heupel system, with him being now a fifth-year senior. So I'm intrigued to see what's going on. Hendon Hooker, okay, this is just a couple of his accomplishments, and it's going to be an awful lot. I'm going to read it off here, all right? Stay with me. Became Tennessee's first Davey O'Brien Award semifinalist since Eric Ainge in 2006. The Davey O'Brien Award is given to the nation's best quarterback. Racked up 3,565 yards of total offense
which ranked fourth in the SEC and fourth in UT single-season history. He shattered two school records. In terms of single-season records, passing efficiency, rating, and completion percentage, he led the SEC and ranked third in FBS, setting a passing efficiency rating of 181.4. His 68.0 completion percentage was second in the SEC and 13th in the FBS. So again, that passer efficiency rating, 181.4, ranked third in FBS. All right, led the SEC third in FBS. That was a talking point all season long last year because it was comparable, if not better, and it ended up being better than that of Byron Young, who won the Heisman. Of the 72 FBS quarterbacks who attempted 300-plus passes during the season, Hendon Hooker tied for the fewest interceptions among those with three. He attempted 140 consecutive passes without an interception from Tennessee Tech week all the way to Alabama. That's the fourth longest streak in program history. Ranked third in the SEC and tied for third in program history in single-season passing touchdowns with 31. He tallied four 70-yard-plus touchdowns, which is tied for most in the country. His 2,945 yards passing was fourth in the Southeastern Conference and 10th in single-season school records. Averaged 9.7 yards per passing attempt. That ranked second in the SEC and fourth in the nation. And for the year, he rushed for 620 yards, which led the team, mind you, on 167 carries and five scores on the ground. The rushing yards were the third most by a quarterback in UT single-season history. Actually, that's his net yards, because again, you got to account for sacks in there as well. For yards gained on the ground, he led the team, but I think Jabari Small ended up leading the team in rushing, because again, you have to take into account those yards lost via sacks. So those are just a couple of the highlights for Hendon Hooker in the season of 2021. I mean, there's tons of them, right? And he was fantastic. Look at his rushing numbers last year. He ran for 166 attempts, 616 yards, 5 touchdowns. So total, he had 36 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So in 2022, can you improve on those numbers? Because it's going to be hard to do. Can you improve on those numbers? We'll see. Maybe he can hit for a higher completion percentage. Maybe that passer rating can go up just a little bit. He can surely pass for more yards, likely, because again, he didn't play essentially for 2.5 games, right? Or for a game and a half, and he was knocked out a little bit. Can he stay on the field a little bit more, even though he's pretty durable throughout the season? What's his ceiling, and how good is that for Tennessee? If Hendon Hooker throws for around 40 touchdowns, if Hendon Hooker throws for less than 7 or 8 interceptions, if he runs for, you know, about like he did last year, and Tennessee wins 9 games, Hendon Hooker will be in the Heisman Trophy conversation. Now, he likely won't win it. Usually, they got to give it to a recipient of a team that, you know, won 10-plus games, right? But we'll see. Maybe that can get Tennessee over the hump. There's a lot of accolades, right? There's a lot of momentum for Hendon Hooker coming into this season after that breakout season last year for Josh Heupel and Tennessee. So, no doubt about it. Tennessee, and how great is this, right? Tennessee's not had a quarterback that you can rely on, that you felt good about, since Joshua Dobbs left the program at the conclusion of the 2016 season. Hendon Hooker is now that guy. He was that guy last year when you found your quarterback. You're entering the new season with absolutely no questions about who your quarterback is, and that is Hendon Hooker. Barring health, Hendon Hooker will be out there for every single snap that he can possibly have, unless it's a blowout. Even then, some cases, Tennessee left him in there at Missouri last year. Tennessee was leading like 56-17, and Hendon Hooker's in there, you know, running the football on third downs and in the fourth quarter, which made no sense. But anyway, I digress. Hendon Hooker is a good player, and that's why he's getting so much love heading into the new season. And he got a little bit more love from another plot that we'll talk about in segment number 3 from AL.com. So, elite Hendon Hooker. How much better can that make the Volunteers? Well, I think you're going to win some more of those toss-up games. I think elite Hendon Hooker, you'll beat Florida this year. I think elite Hendon Hooker, you're going to have no issue taking down Pittsburgh on the road. Elite Hendon Hooker, you're going to beat Kentucky at home, right? Kentucky's a good team. Elite Hendon Hooker, what do you look like at LSU this year? We'll have to find out. Now, you're not going to get elite Hendon Hooker every single game because, again, football, it's not how football works. Some games you're going to be off a little bit, and that's okay. What do those around you do to pick you up? But one thing's for certain, Hendon Hooker makes everybody around him in this offense so much better. You heard Alex Golish talk about it last week. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Hendon Hooker competes in season number 2 with Josh Heupel now as a fifth-year senior. What's it mean for Tennessee? We'll have to see, but no doubt about it, the Volunteers, I think the floor is 8 wins for the Volunteers, And I think Tennessee can win 9 games, and who knows, you get a little wacky. I'm not going to say it, but you get a little wacky. Something happens here, something happens there. I don't know. It's not the craziest thing to believe Tennessee can get double-digit wins. I'm not calling it, but you have a quarterback that can certainly make that happen. So for the final time on offense, we have just shined our light, starter spotlight, on Hendon Hooker, Tennessee's starting quarterback for the 2022 season. Josh Ward is going to come join us next here on Locked On Vols. But first, this episode is brought to you in part by Bet Online and Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain of auto parts store to stock up on all the parts that you possibly need. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning that comes with the wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers, and you have access to rockauto.com at your home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend up to 30 to 50, sometimes even 100% more for the same parts from your chain and store or car dealership when you can do it online from a family-owned business that's been serving it online to customers for over 20 years, the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. But the best part about rockauto.com, always reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oils, even new carpets. Go explore the easy-to-use website today and find out all the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and your truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. That time of the week, it is Wednesday, so we'll bring on our buddy Josh Ward. Josh, co-host of Josh and Swain, the Sports Animal, noon to 3 every weekday. And what's going on, man? Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be back. It's a busy time. This is the slowest time of year, but not really for Tennessee coaches and for Tennessee fans. Still plenty to keep up with.
Yeah, so the coaches are actually getting their vacation in. So the month of June, you're too busy doing camps and official visitors each and every weekend. But the month of July is when you get about 3 weeks off. And now those will be working the phones. There'll be some commitments in the month of July and all that.
Yeah, I'll tell you a very quick story. Years ago, Zach Azani, who's now coaching the Denver Broncos, he was Tennessee's receivers coach, recruiting coordinator. He came on Sports 180, I guess, at the time. And he was on vacation, but took the time to do an interview. He was in the car with his wife, and he said that while he was driving wherever they were going, he had his wife on his phone still typing out messages to recruits. So he was still recruiting since he was driving. His wife was helping him with the recruiting side of things. So again, there was no break.
Why would anybody want to coach in college? I mean, seriously.
Well, and Azani was on Josh and Swain a couple weeks ago, and he told some great recruiting stories about Marquez Callaway and Josh Palmer, but talking about what he misses from the college game, the relationships, getting to help develop young players. He missed that. Recruiting was not on the list of things that he missed.
And I mean, I know it'd be pretty neat, you know, forming those relationships, being there from the start, getting them on campus, helping develop them and see them, you know, some of those guys go out and play in the NFL. I mean, I bet that's rewarding.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, that's a clear example right there. You were on vacation. Your wife is texting recruits, messaging recruits. I mean, that's...
You just have to be built for it. It has to be a lifestyle that you not only are okay with, that you have to take on. Like Rodney Garner, think about him. He's a lifer, right?
Yeah.
And he's been one of the best for a long time on the recruiting trail and also a really good defensive line coach. But he has been doing it for a long time. Zach Azani, still young. He has a family, and I'm sure that that's a part of it. Now he's coaching the pros, and he can go home in the evening with his family as opposed to going home and saying, okay, I got to go recruit. I'm sure there's work you take home and all that stuff, but it's a different ballgame in college.
I mean, I know it ended ugly here, but I mean, you got to think T. Martin's feeling a lot better about his life right now, right?
I would think so.
I mean, long-time coach, USC, Kentucky, Tennessee, of course, and now with the Ravens. I mean, he is an on-the-field position coach with the Ravens, getting a nice salary, and you don't have to recruit.
Yeah, and this is not a, hey, feel bad for the coaches. It's a job that they take on. If we're talking about coaching at Tennessee or in the SEC or most power conference schools, you're making a ton of money to do that, more than you did 25 years ago. There are more headaches that come with it, too, though. I mean, this NIL stuff, I'm in favor of it, but it doesn't make the job easier for coaches, I wouldn't think, in most ways. So, yeah, it's just another part of it. So vacation is not, it's not a normal person's vacation for coaches right now. And, you know, this next week's big for Tennessee on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, I know you're trying to get us into a normal conversation, but I'll just continue to sidebar. I mean, inflation, you know, we're not getting raises at our job. So name, image, and likeness, I mean, should make it easier on the coaches, right?
Well, Eric and Josh both available for name, image, likeness deals.
Yes, always. All right, we will talk some recruiting here. Tennessee wrapped up the final week of June official visitors. It's going to go dead here for the next couple of weeks. It'll open back up at the last week of July. Two commits, John Slaughter, Jeremiah Thielander. Alert the three-star U comments from the fan base, from as the board and as people in the YouTube's comment section will say, the Negavals. But I really do like Jeremiah Thielander's game. That does not mean he will be an all-star, all-conference player. I'm biased. I love the linebacker position. I love the way he plays. He's got great instincts. I think he could be a player down the line that could help Tennessee. And Tennessee has another guy in John Slaughter, but both of these guys, longtime priorities for Josh Heupel, long since been linked to Tennessee, and finally they jump in the boat.
Yeah, and at positions of need, which they're going to fill at some point, but Thielander, for example, so he's not the highest rated guy in the class, you're right. If you look at where he's rated, he's not going to compare to like Christian Conyer, who's a priority, certainly Francis Maioa, or
both those guys committing this weekend.
Yeah, or Shondavian Bradley on the defensive side. Those are higher rated guys, and also higher priorities for the coaching staff too. Like I promise, they're higher on the board, so that's fine. But like, go back to Thielander. You're talking about being a priority for Tennessee earlier this month. The recruiting people covering the Florida Gators had Thielander on a list of priorities for Florida staff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't appear the Gators really ever got in there, but that's something that should make Tennessee fans feel better if you're looking at, okay, his offer list and where he's ranked, and then you see, well, Florida was trying to get in there, and to this point it hasn't worked out. Things can always change, and maybe he says, you know what, I'll take a visit. But as of right now, that didn't work out for Florida, and instead he decided to go ahead and commit to Tennessee. Slaughter is somebody that they prioritized as well, and I think it was just a matter of when he was going to commit, and it made sense to make that visit this past weekend and go ahead and do it. So if that can be the start of another run on defense, if they can add Bradley, if they can add Conyer, if they can add Jackson in the defensive backfield, I mean, there are other guys that they're going to go after at those positions. So this can be a nice base. No doubt, if you do the ratio game, you want to have as many 4- and 5-star players. That's what I think gets lost in this conversation. There are 3-star players that will work out and will be good players for you. There are too many to list off that have worked out for Tennessee and gone on to do big things. Some just got drafted from Tennessee several weeks ago. But you need as many high-level players. You need as many Nico-level, Francis Maioa, Shondavian Bradley-level prospects that you can get, because all of those guys are not guaranteed to work out. But you'll take the higher percentage that you can – the more you can get, the higher percentage of hit rate you will have.
So Tennessee certainly on commitment watch over the next couple of weeks. So tons of these guys we're mentioning that haven't already joined the class will be announcing their commitment to Tennessee or another school. Christian Conyer, first one that comes to mind, he's going July the 3rd. Francis Maioa is going to go July the 5th. You've got a top 2024 tight end that announced that he's going to announce that he's going to announce on July the 4th.
That's a new thing, by the way. We're getting announcements for like top threes. Well, that's not an announcement. It's just an update. So yeah. We need to start changing the terminology. All these announcement teases on social media. Yeah, I don't announce what my 3 finalists are for dinner.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, maybe I should. But when I made my choice, I'll announce what I'm going to eat.
Maybe there's a market for that. I don't know. Jalen Smith is going to be July the 10th. Malik Benson is going to be July the 1st. Tennessee seems to have fallen behind in that one. I think Tyree Weathersby has not announced a commitment date, but I think that's going to be sooner rather than later. I feel like, you know, will Tennessee get all those guys? Absolutely not. But Tennessee has a chance to pick up a couple of those guys. Specifically, Conyer would be huge, and Francis. If you're able to get 2 of those guys this weekend, that would be just massive for what this class can be.
Yep. Reasons for each. Conyer, they need more playmaking help in the secondary. You're beating out Kentucky, which I know Tennessee fans want to say, well, we're recruiting against Kentucky. Well, yeah, right now. I mean, you are going up against Kentucky. So are several other SEC schools, and he's a top player there in the state. And you need to continue to add there in the defensive backfield. That is one of my bigger questions, talent-wise, where Tennessee is. But, bringing in Turrentine as a transfer helps. And then if you bring in Conyer in this class, that certainly helps. And then on the offensive line, you got to get players like him if you are going to have a chance to compete for championships. I mean, that's where it starts. Besides quarterback, quarterback play, of course, matters. But what's the biggest question about Hendon Hooker this year? Can he stay healthy all year? Yeah. Because you have questions at tackle. That's the biggest reason that comes up, right? So if you can get somebody like Francis Maui'oa in this class and you can continue to recruit on the offensive and defensive line, that brings up Bradley several weeks later. Those are the kinds of players that realistically put Tennessee in a chance where in 24, 25, you're competing with Georgia, Alabama, let's assume LSU, Texas A&M, those level teams to win championships. Because Texas A&M, we can talk about the Jimbo, Nick, all that stuff. If Texas A&M has a shot to win, it's because they've landed all these big-time players up front. They'll have enough athletes. Tennessee will be fine there at the skill positions on offense. They've got to get big guys up front.
Popular guy, Josh Ward, at the time of this recording, he's about to dart off and go join another Markets radio show. But quickly, would you ever take a picture with the Stanley Cup over your head and with a cigar in your mouth if you were a beat writer for said franchise?
I saw that from the Denver Post, I believe, with with the Stanley Cup. So
not great.
I will never be a beat writer covering the NHL. So Josh Ward, radio host in Knoxville, sure, I'd lift up the Stanley Cup. But yeah, I'd be afraid I'd drop it and dent it like the player did the other night on the ice. So I would see if you would help me lift it up over my head. How about that?
Yeah. Fair enough. Josh, appreciate it, man. Josh and Swain every day, noon to 3, and some good stuff coming up the rest of the week.
Yeah, we're covering Tennessee football and recruiting and kind of the all-SEC stuff. Jason Swain with some high praise for Byron Young, why he is a breakout candidate. I think people around the league are starting to say the same thing about him.
Always a pleasure to catch up with Josh Ward. That is every single Wednesday right here on Locked On Vols. Former host of Locked On Vols and current host of Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Of course, I am Eric Kane, your current host here of the podcast, Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. And I'll say this, I kind of teased something, I guess it was it last week, saying, hey, if you're a Tennessee football fan, be sure to tune in to tomorrow's Locked On Vols. And we all knew what happened, when the offensive coordinator joined the show. I don't like to name drop until I have the interview in the bag, and that's not the case at this current recording. But if you are a Tennessee football fan, tune in to tomorrow, Thursday's show. You're not going to want to miss it. Trust me there, and that's all I'll say on that. AL.com, it released its SEC preseason all-conference team. Alabama, to no surprise, had 11 on the two teams. This is the 76th annual preseason team for the SEC per AL.com. So no doubt about it, no shocker, right? You've got tons and tons of talent returning for the University of Alabama, and they lead the way with 11 on the first two teams. But here's a reason why, I'll tell you right from the get-go, why I like this AL.com all-SEC preseason squad. Because it's only two teams. How many times have we talked about Phil Steele? How many times have we talked about, the Sporting News, the CBS, whatever the case may be, and there's like four preseason teams. And when I go to SEC Media Days in a couple weeks, we will vote on literally four preseason all-SEC teams by the media. It is nerve-wracking. Like, why in the world are we getting to the third and the fourth team? You're just finding players who have played at that point. It's silly, right? AO.com did only two teams, two offenses, and two defenses, and so I respect the hell out of that, so job well done to AL.com. What about Tennessee Volunteers? Who made the cut? Well, we've gone over this enough, and we've been doing this enough so far in the offseason to know that, you know, pretty much the same guys make the same teams, right? But since there's only two teams, which ones made the cut? Well, Tennessee had one first-team selection, and it was wide receiver Cedric Tillman. Obviously, that's expected, right? I mean, Tillman and LSU's Keyshawn Boutte have been getting pretty much every first-team wide receiver nod, depending on whichever plaudit you're looking at right now. And Cedric Tillman, the production coming back, one of the most productive FBS wide receivers coming back this year, certainly in the SEC as well. And Cedric Tillman joins Keyshawn Boutte as the wide receivers on the first team. Hendon Hooker was named the second-team quarterback on the second-team offense. Why wasn't he named first-team? Well, again, as you'd suspect, reigning Heisman Trophy award-winning quarterback of Alabama, Bryce Young, was named to the first team. But Hendon Hooker, he gets the nod over Will Rogers, over Will Levis, over KJ Jefferson, over a lot of other, you know, guys who could be up in the spot. I mean, KJ Jefferson would likely be that other one, but no, it's Hendon Hooker. So Hooker gets the nod at quarterback on the second team. And then Tennessee's only other selection comes on the second team on the defensive line in Byron Young. And so that is it for the University of Tennessee. Should there have been more? Well, you can always make the case there should have been more, potentially a Tyler Barron, potentially a Darnell Wright. But, you know, this looks about right. I mean, Jabari Small didn't need to be on the first two teams. None of the safeties need to be on the first two teams for Tennessee. I mean, Jeremy Banks might have a conversation, but he is not present on the first two teams. Nobody else on the defensive line other than the ones I've mentioned. Nobody else on the offensive line likely. So, yeah, I mean, this is about right in my estimation. Let's look at these first two teams per AL.com. So, again, with Cedric Tillman on the first team offense along with Keyshawn Boutte of LSU, you got Bryce Young at quarterback, Chris Rodriguez, the returning leading rusher of the SEC for Kentucky, C-Rod. He's the running back along with Tank Bigsby of Auburn. You know, I mentioned the wide receivers. Brock Bowers, the tight end of Georgia, obviously the freshman phenom last year. And then your tackles are Broderick Jones of Georgia and Nick Broker of Ole Miss. Your guards, Layden Robinson of A&M and Emil Ekor of Alabama. And your center is Ricky Stromberg of Arkansas. On the second team offense, Hendon Hooker is your quarterback. And again, consistently across the board, it's been Hendon Hooker. It's not been KJ Jefferson. It's not been Will Rogers. It's been Hendon Hooker. So I think, again, the hype is real. The love is real for Tennessee's quarterback Hendon Hooker heading into the season, and it'll be up to him to live up to that hype. But it's Hendon Hooker of the second team, Jahmyr Gibbs of Alabama, and Zach Evans of Ole Miss, your two running backs on the second team. Mind you, both of those two incomers from the transfer portal, Jahmyr Gibbs of Georgia Tech, Zach Evans from TCU, first-year players in the SEC getting preseason love. Jermaine Burton and Jonathan Mingo are your two wide receivers on the second team. Burton, of course, formerly of Georgia, won a national championship, now jumping ship to go to Alabama, and Mingo of Ole Miss. Your tight end is Michael Trigg of Ole Miss. He's formerly of USC via the transfer portal. Your two tackles are Javon Foster of Missouri, Jeremy James of Ole Miss. Your guards, Kenneth Horsey and Osiris Torrance, Kentucky and Florida. And then your center is Cedric Van Pran of Georgia. Let's look at that first team defense. Jalen Carter of Georgia, Derek Hall of Auburn, Byron Young of Alabama, not our Byron Young, and Mason Smith of LSU, your defensive line. Linebackers, Will Anderson of Alabama, who is the best defensive player, the best overall player in the country. You guys know how I feel about him. Bumper Pool, all-name team, and a guy that's been in college for a decade, and I love him. This lists him at 6'2", 230. I promise you, Bumper Pool is not 6 foot. I interviewed him last year, and I promise you, he might have been maybe half an inch taller than me, and I'm a short guy. Bumper Pool, love it there. He's first team not of Arkansas. Nolan Smith of Georgia, a really, really good player, linebacker. Quarterbacks, Cam Smith of South Carolina, Eli Ricks of Alabama. And then safeties, Jordan Battle of Alabama and Antonio Johnson of Texas A&M. Your second team defense, of course, I mentioned Byron Young, but joining him on the defensive line is Colby Wooden of Auburn, Jervon Dexter of Florida, and Jaquil Roy of LSU. Your linebackers, former Tennessee player before hitting the transfer portal, Henry Tuitua of Alabama, Dallas Turner of Alabama, Brenton Cox of Florida. And then your cornerbacks, Keely Ringo of Georgia, Malachi Moore of Alabama, your safeties, Jalen Catalan of Arkansas, and Chris Smith of Georgia. Those are your defensive teams, or those are your preseason teams per AL.com heading into the new season. So Tennessee gets three nods. Cedric Tillman, first-team wide receiver, Hendon Hooker, second-team quarterback, and Byron Young, second-team defensive line. That is about right. So we're continuing on, guys. We are almost to SEC Media Days, and I'll tell you, we'll go to SEC Media Days. There will be a ton of content. There will be a week that follows to where we fill in the gaps. And then, guys, that next week, first week of August, it's camp time, all right? And then football season, it really is officially here. And then we start talking about those position battles and all that. So starter spotlight, it was Hendon Hooker. Shocker. We know he's going to be the starting quarterback barring injury. Josh Ward stops by and talks a little bit of recruiting here on the Hill. And then some more Volunteers getting some preseason love from AL.com on the All-SEC preseason team. That is your Wednesday show. Guys, thanks so much. A reminder, tune in tomorrow. You won't want to miss that show. Knock on wood here. Let's hope I secure that interview tomorrow beforehand. That's why I'm not mentioning the name. But you'll want to tune in tomorrow. I promise you that. Guys, thanks so much as always for making Locked On Balls your first listen, your first watch each and every day on YouTube, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Odyssey app, wherever. It's there for you. And now make Locked On SEC your second listen, your second watch. Every day, host Chris Gordy, he takes you around the SEC in 30 minutes or less. Make Locked On SEC your second listen right behind Locked On Balls. which is your first listen each and every day. Guys, thank you so much. Couldn't do it without you. Hey, let's do it again tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols.